Back in 1897, Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote a hymn that remains a favorite even today. You probably know the refrain, count your blessings, name them one by one. Hi, I'm Rob West. That well-loved gospel song contains a very important theme for the Christian life, gratitude. We'll talk about that today, then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, last year was the 100th anniversary of Johnson Oatman Jr.'s death. He wrote the words to 5,000 hymns in his lifetime. Count Your Blessings was his masterpiece, offering comfort and reassurance with its timeless theme of gratitude to the Lord. Well, gratitude is certainly an appropriate topic at this time of year with Thanksgiving coming up. I'm sure we will all count our blessings as we gather with family and friends, remembering the goodness of God. Of course, gratitude is more than just a holiday feeling. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, giving thanks is an essential part of the Christian life. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, let's look at the hymn more closely. There's deep truth in these verses Johnson Oatman wrote over a century ago. The first verse says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Gratitude has the power to lift us out of fear and discouragement. Psalm 118, 4 and 5 gives a testimony of this. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. When you focus on your problems, they can seem overwhelming. Gratitude refocuses your heart and mind on the Lord. In light of his protection and provision, problems seem much less scary. In John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, verse 2 of the hymn tells us that gratitude can calm our doubts when times get tough. Here are the words. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Considering what God has done in your life will remind you that he loves you and will never leave you to struggle alone. Remember Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Not only is gratitude effective in dispelling fear and doubt, it also helps us get our priorities straight. The third verse of the hymn puts it this way. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. We don't need to be jealous of the money and possessions of others because we know the treasure we have in the Lord is eternal, and it's much more satisfying than anything the world has to offer. The heart that treasures God with gratitude will be at peace. In John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The refrain of the hymn contains one of the best pieces of advice I can think of for Christians. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. When was the last time you took a break from the busyness of life and just counted your blessings? I challenge you to set aside a few minutes, even today, to list all the blessings you can think of, big and small. I think you'll be amazed at how many you come up with. Make this a challenge for the whole family, including your children. Here's an important reminder. It's not enough just to count your blessings. Anybody can do that. For Christians, there's a part two. Acknowledge that these good gifts are from the Lord and give thanks to Him for each blessing on the list. I promise you, it'll be a joyful exercise. Here are the words to the final verse of Johnson Oatman's much-loved hymn. So, amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Well, I hope that classic hymn encourages you to count your blessings today, one of which is that I didn't sing it for you. I can promise you that. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Stay tuned.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Every now and then a story comes out where a person was wrongly imprisoned. Could you imagine being jailed for a crime you didn't commit? Though these individuals are usually compensated financially, you can't put a dollar amount on years lost. Though earthly justice systems may fail and we may even experience injustice, all is not lost. We believe in a God who promises to make all things right. King Solomon calls upon the Lord to act as judge in 1 Kings 8. Hear from heaven and act, condemn the guilty, and vindicate the innocent. When you see evil roaming this earth, we can utter these words: condemn the guilty, vindicate the innocent, and we can say this, knowing the judge of all the earth will do right. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
The world around us is constantly challenging the way we think. That's why we need a constant source of information that's based on the unchanging Word of God. I'm Jeff Shambley, and I invite you to join me for The Stand Radio, a weekly program that highlights the latest trends in culture, faith, and family. You'll hear insightful interviews with a biblical worldview application. The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
I'm delighted you joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. My name is Rob West. We're looking forward to taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. The calls are coming in, but I've got two lines open. If you get a busy signal, keep calling. We'd love to get you in on the program today. The number, 800-525-7000. That's right, with any question related to your financial life today, we'll help you process it through a biblical lens and hopefully make a decision with confidence. 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Arkansas. Hi, May. Thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Okay, here's my dilemma. I'm hoping to retire in about a year, okay. And I've got $15,000 cash that I'm going to need when I retire to help supplement my income. So I don't know what to do with it now. I don't know if I should put it in the stock market, with it crazy as it is, or what. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, it's a great question. I appreciate that, May. Let's talk through this together. So you said you're not far away from retirement, about a year. Tell me about the income sources that you'll have in retirement.
I have Social Security.
Okay. And have you put together that retirement budget, May, that has a breakdown of your expenses so you know what you can expect to have to cover on a monthly basis?
Right. I'm going to need about $150 extra each month, and that's where this $15,000 is coming from.
Got it.
Know, what I'll be doing with to help pay for, you know, some medicine or a utility bill or something.
Okay, very good. So if we were to just stick that into, you know, a savings account, you'd obviously earn some interest on that. You know, at $15,000 today, right, you know, you could earn, you know, 5.5%. Well, let's say in a, let's say we keep it in a true savings account, so it's purely liquid, you know, 4.5%. So that'd give you an extra $675 a year, you know, which that would throw off about $50 a month. And then you'd have to pull an additional $100. So that, you know, the challenge is we typically want to only pull about 4% a year from, you know, our investments. You know, you're having to pull more like, you know, about 12% or $1,800 a month. So it's a little more than we, you know, would like to pull. You know, this is probably going to last you maybe 10 years or so just because of the rate of withdrawal. So I think that's one consideration. Is there any opportunity to either delay your retirement so you could continue to save, or is there a way to try to trim the budget at all so we could get down closer to maybe $50 or $75 a month?
Yes, I could, you know, if my health and everything stays okay, I could probably work, you know, a little bit longer.
Okay.
That is an option. And
yeah.
Yes, I could. Well, one thing is like my food costs and stuff. You know, I've caught myself eating out more than I should. So that's one thing I'm going to have to cut back on.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I think that would be a worthwhile exercise for you just to say, how can I trim that budget to get as close to my Social Security as possible? So you've got a couple of options. Now, do you have any what I call emergency savings may beyond the $15,000 that's just available for the unexpected, or is that really the extent of it?
No, I do have about $50,000 in emergency.
Okay, very good. In the 15, is it in a retirement account of some kind?
No, it's just cash right now.
Oh, just cash. Okay. Yeah. So I think your two options are, number one, you could put it just in a, you know, maybe you lock it up in a CD for, you know, the next couple of years, and you could get about 5% on that. You wouldn't be taking any risk. Or you could invest it. And I know you mentioned that. Typically, when we, you know, what is your age today?
76.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
76.
Okay. Yeah. So at 76, we'd probably, you know, generally recommend a 30-70 portfolio where you might have about 30% in stocks and about 70% in bonds. And the nice thing about that is, you know, you would, as the interest rates come down, which is probably not going to begin to happen until later next year, 2024, those bond prices will increase and you'll also have a pretty nice yield just because of where interest rates are today. And so, you know, I would do that through a mutual fund, just given the amount of funds we're talking about. And our friends at soundmindinvesting.org could help you with that. That's soundmindinvesting.org. And basically what they would help you do is find a high-quality mutual fund, meaning one with low expenses, a good track record, but where it's called a balanced fund, where you've got a mix of both stocks and bonds. And we'd probably want to have one where we target, you know, that mix of stocks to bonds with that 30-70 split I'm talking about. Now, here's what you have to recognize, though. There's, of course, risk associated with that, especially as we're headed toward what most economists believe to be a recession. And we don't know whether it's going to be a mild recession or a little deeper than we expect. A lot of that just is going to play out over time. Now, the good news is, you know, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you know, this money needs to last for potentially a couple of decades. So you can still take a long view with it, but you may see that $15,000, you know, you'd wake up one day and it's $13,000. And if that's going to cause you some anxiety or some stress, then you may want to look to more safe, you know, safer investments. But if you're comfortable with that, recognizing that the goal to grow it in a reasonable way to offset inflation, even though you are taking some risk, then you could look for one of those mutual funds I was talking about with that 30-70 split. Otherwise, I would probably, you know, take advantage of a CD right now and just try to maximize the return on this money, you know, at about 5.5% for the next couple of years. And you've got it completely safe, and at least you know you're going to be making, you know, a little bit of income on it. As I mentioned, you know, with $15,000, you know, at 5.5%, you know, you're looking at about $800 over the next 12 months. And again, if you could work a little bit longer and save to try to build that $15,000 up, the good news is, you know, potentially we don't need even $150. We could mean maybe $50 or $75. And then we've got a plan that actually works where you've got your bills covered every month and you've got a nice, healthy emergency savings account with $50,000 in it. And I think that, you know, is a plan that works long term. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I like your idea about the CD. That's really kind of, yes, I think I'm going to do that.
Okay. Yeah, so then the question is where to go to get the CD, and what I might direct you to is if you're comfortable on the internet, I'd head to a website called bankrate.com. And on that site, what you will find is that you can click on the button that says CDs, and it's going to rank them from those that are paying the most interest to those paying the least. And you can actually create the filter so that it looks for 1 year CDs or, you know, up to 2 year CDs or even 5 years and look at the rates, and it would tell you the bank's offering the most competitive interest rates right now. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm definitely going to go there right now and look.
Okay, very good. Listen, all the best to you, May. Hey, what are you most excited about as you transition into this next season of life? What do you think God has for you?
Well, I'm hoping to do something to be able to serve the Lord. You know, I don't know if it'll be with, you know, working in a homeless shelter or something, yeah. But I would like to be there helping.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. Well, God bless you, May. Hey, if we can help you further along the way with anything, give us a call back. We'd be delighted to. May the Lord bless you. What a great call. All right, folks, we're just getting started. All the lines are full. We're going to tackle your questions just around the corner. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Stick around.
More than ever, pastors need to feel people's love and support. There's no better time to do this than Pastor Appreciation Month in October. And there's no better way to do it than using the easy as 1-2-3 Bless Your Pastor materials, available for free at blessyourpastor.org. If your church uses the free 1-2-3 materials, church pastors will be offered a $300 scholarship application to attend a marriage retreat. Learn more at blessyourpastor.org. That's blessyourpastor.org.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
In the book of Luke, we read the story of a sinner who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, dried them with her hair, and anointed them with expensive perfume. She was all in. Jesus said of that woman, she loved much. Guest writer Rick Robertson says,
this story reminds me of what happens in the life of every person who is born again. There's an overflow of gratitude to Jesus for saving us.
Read the blog, She Loved Much, at afa.net/thestand.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
We're so thankful to have you along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. We've got a lot of calls waiting. Looking forward to getting to these questions. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, again, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones to Ohio. Tony is a first-time caller. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning, Rob. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for your call. Sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I just got a more of a concern question here. So I'm 48. I've got about 500 plus in an IRA, a mix of IRA. So it's a mix of SEP, personal investment account, and I think another IRA portfolio, whatever. But the concern is since July, it's kind of dropped from like 511 to about 462 now. Right. I've got an investor who manages stuff for me. But the other concern was in looking through it, I kind of noticed it was infidelity. It said something about it's a highly aggressive position or whatever. And my question was, is that what I should be doing right now? I mean, given the world events and the talk of depression next year and all that stuff, that was really my main question.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. You know, I think the first question when we talk about an investing strategy is just a high-level allocation among the various asset classes. So, you know, you've got bonds and you've got stocks, and then you've got, you know, typically you would have maybe a small allocation to the precious metals in a stock and bond portfolio. There's other asset classes, of course, like oil and gas and real estate and that type of thing. But, you know, if a traditional portfolio would typically have stocks, bonds, and precious metals, and we would start by saying, okay, what is the right mix of those asset classes based on your age, risk tolerance, goals, and objectives? So at age 50, we might say, you know, typically you'd have a 60-40 portfolio at age 50, you know, toward stocks and bonds. So 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds. And then within that stock allocation, you would say, okay, we might have some that are more of the high growth type in, you know, maybe a high growth sector like technology, where they're not paying any dividends, it's all being reinvested. You might have a portion in, you know, more, you know, mid cap and small cap as opposed to large cap. You could have international and domestic. You could have some that are dividend focused, so income generating stocks. You know, it might be a utility or something like that. And, you know, all of that together, whether that's through individual equities or mutual funds or ETFs, makes up the stock portion. And that's probably the first decision that will drive the volatility on the portfolio. So let's start there. Do you have a sense across all of these accounts, if we were to just say among your $500,000 in investable assets, do you know the breakdown roughly of stocks versus bonds?
I think I don't know specifics, but I think I'm weighted more on the stock side versus the bond side.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, so that would be the question to my advisor is to say, hey, let's talk about kind of my allocation here. You know, obviously, you know, you're down about 50,000, which is, you know, about 10%. That's not, you know, out of the ordinary in a market like we're in right now, but it does warrant the question, you know, what is that high level allocation? What's the appropriate amount or mix, I should say, of stocks versus bonds and even gold or other precious metals? And how, you know, are we positioned today? And then within those portfolios, you know, what are my holdings? Now, when you said you saw something referencing the fact that you were in aggressive positions, tell me more about that. Was that a particular fund that you were in that you know, mentioned that it was more aggressive in its, you know, policy or something else?
No, this was the Fidelity app, right? I was looking at the individual, again, the individual positions. And so, as I said, I run a personal business, so I've got a set IRA,
yeah.
And then I've got a separate individual account, and then I've got a traditional IRA,
okay.
That was ported over. And when I look at the Fidelity app, I was just kind of looking at the overall ratings, and I noticed in the app it says something about this was more highly aggressive, and then another one was very aggressive. So that's kind of where I got concerned.
Got it. Yeah, very good. Yeah, so that would just, I think, warrant a conversation with your advisor as to, you know, what are the holdings in that equity portion? And talk to me about why the Fidelity app is categorizing them as either aggressive or highly aggressive. And then just talk about your risk tolerance, your goals and objectives. And I think that should serve the basis as, you know, a really open and honest conversation about how much risk you're willing to take. What are you trying to accomplish? What's your ultimate goal in terms of, you know, where are you headed toward between now and retirement to be able to fund, you know, your lifestyle in retirement alongside Social Security and anything else you might have if you sell a business or something like that. So there may be some planning involved. So it doesn't scare me that the word aggressive is there. I think the bigger idea is just, do you have the right investment mix that's appropriate for you at age 50 as a business owner, you know, with another 15 years or so of, you know, really working hard so that you can ultimately achieve your objectives? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Okay.
I have one more question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
So right now I have another, I'd say probably 200 in cash, and I'm kind of hesitant in putting that in the market right now. My initial thought was to just throw that into some sort of a high yield online savings account. I don't know what your thoughts are about that.
Yeah. So is this after tax money just sitting in a checking or savings account currently?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah,
and are you actively funding that SEP every year?
Yes. I max it out every year. This would be my second year that, I need to max out. I haven't done that yet for this year.
Yeah. But you'd still have this $200,000 after you max out that SEP, or would this be a part of that?
No, it would drop. It would drop by 60-something, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. And what do you spend per month, roughly?
Oh, I'm not sure, but I'm usually, my net on a monthly basis is usually maybe around 22 to 23 grand over.
Okay. All right, so here's what I would do. I'd keep at least 6 months worth of expenses in that high yield savings account, and then I'd fully fund the SEP. And then if you have anything left over, I'd consider going ahead and moving that into the market as well, as long as you have the right investment mix. Stay on the line. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word, and we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. Not trying to just give you practical advice and find a verse that we can match to it. We want to start with a biblical worldview. What does God say about money and our role as stewards in managing His resources? And how do we live with contentment and give generously and provide for our families and enjoy what God has entrusted to us? And yes, get very practical about how we make decisions every day. That's what we want to do here on this program as we serve you alongside your financial questions. We've got just a couple of lines open. And so if you have a financial question today, get in on the conversation at 800-525-7000. If you get a busy signal, just call right back. We'll try to get to as many as we can. Let's see. We're going to head to Texas next. Jake, you've been waiting patiently. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob. So glad to be on the show. Just a quick question for you. My wife and I have been involved in church camp for about 20 years now, and she's on the board. And somebody has offered us a gift that they want us to use towards scholarships of $30,000. And we're just wondering, is there a way that we could have like a reoccurring scholarship each year based off of maybe an investment out of this?
Yeah. You know, it's a great question. I love what you're doing there with the church camp, and I can understand why you'd want to maximize that just to get as many, kids there as you can in the years to follow. You know, I might start with the donor's intent and perhaps go back to the donor and just say, listen, what was your intent here, in the sense that, you know, I would typically, whether it's a gift to a church or in this case, a parachurch ministry, I'd be very hesitant to put the money at risk because, you know, the donor gave it to you to get, you know, kids to camp. And if all of a sudden we lose money, let's say, you know, you turn around and invest it in stocks and all of a sudden, you know, that 30 is now 20. Now you could say, well, it'll recover. We'll just, you know, wait it out and at least we could grow it and hopefully eventually get more kids there. I would just hate for you to, you know, have any of that money at risk unless the donor said, you know what? Absolutely. If we can get a 6 or 8% return, even though we're taking a little bit of risk on this, and over time, that means, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 more kids could go to camp or a dozen, that's great. But apart from that, I would probably be looking for really safe, almost, you know, no risk type investments. Everything's got risk, but I'd probably be looking at CDs or, you know, high yield savings or something like that. But give me your thoughts on that, Jake.
No, I mean, that makes sense. Like, I understand where you're coming from on that. Like, you kind of want to make the most impact, right? Yeah. Especially with the economy being where it's at. You don't know. You could lose it all. I know that we have campers. So our costs are about $450 per camper, which is not bad for a week of camp. Yep. However, if you give something away for free, people just don't show up. So with $30,000, that would probably cover like everybody. And I'm sure without any initial investment from the individual, people would just not show up.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, obviously this could cover 66 kids in 1 year, or as you said, you know, if you didn't want to give full scholarships, the other approach is to say, listen, we're going to subsidize the tuition, or we're going to make it need-based. And so, you know, the kids who can pay to come to camp, great, right? You know, the parents write the check. Those who would love to come but can't because of finances, maybe they apply to get a scholarship. And those are approved on a, you know, a case-by-case basis based on the need that's there. And it could be a subsidized camp, you know, registration, or it could be a full scholarship, you know, depending upon what's there. And the idea would be, you know, that you don't spend all this money in 1 year. I mean, this lasts for a long time. You know, at 5.5%, you could throw off an extra $1,650 a year. So there's, you know, three more full scholarships just in the interest that you could get over the next 12 months. So I think you need to kind of back up and decide, what is our strategy here? This is an incredible blessing, this gift that's been given. What was the donor's intent, and how do we maximize this with the goal of being, you know, to get as many campers there as possible? And if those who can afford to come, great, let them pay. You've already said there's a great value behind this, given that it's only $450. I mean, as a dad sending kids to summer camp, I know how expensive that is. $450 is, you know, probably in many cases a third of what a lot of the camps are. But those who truly are in a need-based situation, you know, that's where this really comes in handy, so they can get to camp and, you know, hear about Jesus and have an incredible time as well. So I think, you know, you need to establish a strategy around how it's going to be deployed, but I would probably try to stay more on the risk-free side of the ledger with the investments if you try to earn some interest on this.
Okay. And so you'd recommend,
probably a high yield savings. I mean, you could, and so you would need to look at those who can open a business account. If you want, you know, a Christian alternative, you could look at our friends at Christian Community Credit Union at joinchristiancommunity.com. Otherwise, you could just go to Bankrate and, you know, find which banks offer the highest yield for business savings.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate it, Rob, and I appreciate what you're doing on your show. I fully believe in time, talent, and testimony. You know, how we invest, it really makes a difference. It's all God's.
Yes, it is. Well, I appreciate that affirmation, Jake. It's a privilege to do what I do every day, and I appreciate your encouragement. God bless you, my friend. Let's go to Georgia next. By the way, we've got a few lines open. We'll take as many questions as we can between now and the end of the program. 800-525-7000. Hi, Clarence. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Rob. I appreciate you and your minister as well.
Thank you.
A few weeks ago, you had given me some good advice about Social Security took the best 5 out of 35 to determine how much you would draw at retirement.
Well, exactly. Let me just clarify that one bit, and then I'll let you ask your question. It is the best 35 out of the total number of years you've been working. So it's called the high 35. So it's not 5 of 35. It's the best 35, which does mean if you continue working, even after you start collecting, you have the ability to replace any of those 35 years of your highest wages.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, that leads up to this question. I got thinking, the company I work for, I contributed to the 401k. They match the first 3% at 100%. The next 3%, they match at 50%. Is that money that I'm contributing into the 401k, is that part of my total for the year that the IRS will use?
It is. Yeah, because although you don't pay income tax on your 401k contribution, you still pay what's called FICA, which that's based on the full paycheck amount, and that's the portion that goes to Social Security.
Okay, that clears a lot up for me. I sure do appreciate you, my friend.
All right. God bless you, Clarence. Hey, what part of Georgia are you in?
I live in a little town called Chickamauga, Georgia.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right up in the extreme northwest Georgia. Little
yes,
old
sir.
Indian town.
Excellent. Yeah. It's beautiful up there.
God's country is what I call it.
I like it, and I would agree with you, sir. All right. Hey, God bless you, Clarence. Make it a great day, and thanks for being on the program. Boy, we have some amazing listeners. You all are just wonderful to talk to, and I so appreciate your encouragement along the way. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to dive back into some more questions today. We're going to talk to Tim in Pennsylvania about wills versus trusts. Rebecca wants to talk about kids and saving money from Tennessee, and perhaps your question, 800-525-7000. Stick around.
God has set his heart on the person that is listening to us right now who is at the very bottom, and they've lost a job, a child has died, and they don't feel like life is worth living. God has set his heart on you. Even when we're not worthy, we are worth something to God.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio. Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. Looks like we've got one line open, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones to Pennsylvania. Hi, Tim. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My situation is my wife and I have wills. And, you know, after the Lord calls us both home, whatever is remaining in the estate is scheduled to be divided evenly between our son and our daughter. We find ourselves in a situation where our son's marriage is rocky. His wife, quite often threatens to divorce and leave. So I am looking into the possibility that maybe what we need to do is establish a trust. Because I don't want to be I don't want to be the one that finances the family split, if that makes sense to you.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. And I can certainly understand that. Obviously this is a matter of prayer, and we want to pray for unity and oneness, and the Lord would work in their marriage. I understand you're also charged with being the steward of these resources, and part of that is deciding how you want, who the next steward is and whether they're not only chosen but prepared. And a trust is a way to give money to your kids, without it going necessarily to the spouse, although there is, you know, it becomes marital property, and so it depends on the state and so forth. So what I would recommend here, Tim, is for you to visit with a godly estate planning attorney who can really talk you through kind of what the you know, options are for how you would leave this money and accomplish your wishes, you know, according to the laws of the state there and the options that you have.
Okay. Excellent. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the trust is basically a legal entity that holds and manages the property for the benefit of one or more beneficiaries. And so, you know, if you're looking to shield assets from a child spouse, you know, the most common and effective way to do that is going to be a trust. But from that point, you know, you're going to have to get into the legalities of what makes the most sense in your situation and according to the laws of your state. And that's where an estate planning attorney comes in. In terms of finding that individual, if you don't have one, you could reach out to a certified kingdom advisor in Pennsylvania and ask for a referral. They'll all have a godly estate planning attorney that they work with. So you just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click find a CKA, and you could do a zip code search and then just contact one of those. Say, listen, I listen to Faith and Finance, and I just need a referral to an estate planning attorney, and they should be able to direct you. Okay?
Excellent. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. God bless.
All right, Tim. You too, sir. Thanks for calling today. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Rebecca. Go right ahead.
Hi. Hey, yes, I have a question. So I have not always been the best at saving money. I thought pretty much been my whole entire life, but my father passed away when I was about 16, received a large check from his life insurance. And for example, I just blew it. I mean, of course I was young, but there's nothing of it anymore. Now that I'm married, it's always a conflict between my husband and I because I spend so much money. We can't ever save to buy a home. So I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with me and how to stop it, because now I know at this point, if I was to pass away, my children would have nothing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If my husband saves money, he saves it and he doesn't tell me about it. So he will say, we're running out of money, but we'll have some just to try to slow me down on spending. I don't really know. To me, it feels like I've always felt like if I have it, I have to go use it.
Yes.
And my kids have to have the best. I feel like I'm always trying to compete. And I feel like I'm depriving them. And now I know that in the long run, it has hurt us because we don't have anything substantial.
Yeah.
And I just turned 29. My husband's in 30. And he receives VA disability, but he's also working. And I'm working a part-time job. So I don't know what to do. I don't know if I need to work full-time or what I need to do to help my family. But I know I'm a big thorn in their side right now.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca, I so appreciate your transparency here today. And, you know, that's obviously the beginning point to you getting beyond this. You know, compulsive spending is real. And it could be that you need to get some counseling, you know, around this, just to try to get to the root of it, to determine what are the emotions that trigger the spending, along with fear and guilt and feelings of inadequacy. I mean, there is, you know, money issues are hard issues, and the spending is just symptomatic of something deeper there. But you acknowledging that is obviously key. And so your ability to kind of work through that, you know, at that level, at the heart level, and spiritually, and identifying what's, you know, going on here and having somebody help you work through that is key. And then there's the mechanical side that we'll put alongside that, because obviously where this is headed, you know, is, you know, the symptoms of this are disunity in your marriage, because now you know, your husband's feeling like he has to keep things from you. And obviously that's not driving toward God's design for marriage of oneness. It's leading toward, you know, you all not having anything for the future and not being able to save. And obviously that, you know, is going to be problematic, not only long term, but even in the short term, just in your ability to operate without debt you know, have the things that you need and enjoy what God has given you and being able to take a trip and build memories with your families and those kinds of things. And so that's going to involve, you know, perhaps a really strict budget where, you know, we build into that budget some, you know, something for you to be able to spend on the things that you love and enjoy, maybe your hobbies or, you know, whatever it is, but it's done within the context of a plan. You're probably going to want to operate on a cash basis, not with credit or debit cards, and use, you know, a physical envelope system just to limit your spending. But, you know, I think as long as you know that, hey, I'm working on this at the heart level and I'm identifying the root cause of this, and, you know, that may involve you, you know, with a professional counselor, but I'm also working on this on the mechanical side, and we've identified a balanced budget that works for us. And in that budget, I have a portion that I can enjoy, you know, to the extent there's money available to do that, but you're willing to curb that and you've got the proper controls in place for that to happen when the money's gone. I mean, that's all of a sudden, you know, a plan that, you know, is sustainable long term and will take you in the direction of where you ultimately want to go. And I think a lot of this is spiritual too, you know, just praying and saying, Lord, I want to be a wise steward of this money because it's not mine. You know, if everything belongs to the Lord, then you're his money manager. And so this is a really high calling, Rebecca, that we all have. And that's not, you know, to place any guilt on you or anything like that. That's just to say we all need to be those wise and faithful stewards. And at the core of that is obedience. And so you need to be renewing your mind in God's word around, you know, what he would have for you in terms of his ownership and provision and your ability to live with contentment, you know, living within what God has provided and not beyond it. And also to say, you know, what are those goals that we have that money can be a tool to accomplish that line up with our values and priorities as children of God? And what do you want to do long term, you know, short term and long term in terms of your desire to save and your desire to give and all of those things that I know you want to do? But it's not a matter of you feeling shame. It's a matter of you getting help and making steps forward in this direction. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors reach out to you and your husband. There's not going to be any cost for this, Rebecca. We'll cover the cost on it just as our gift to you. But that individual is somebody who's been trained to help put spending plans together. They know the counsel of Scripture. They'll pray for you and encourage you, and they can help you set up a system. But I think alongside that, you and your husband really need to pray about you reaching out either to a pastor or a counselor who can really help you uncover some of the root of some of the things you just described. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Yes, thank you so much. It really hit the nail on the head there. I definitely feel, I don't know, everyone compares me to my father because we had to have like instant gratification when it comes to wanting something or needing something.
Yeah.
So I've always felt like he passed that on down to me, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to break that in my family lineage, and so that my children don't have to, you know, go through this and struggle.
Yeah, well, this is the key, is you identifying that, and that was a question I didn't ask you that I often do, and that is, you know, what are some of your earliest memories of money growing up, and how was money handled growing up? Because so often the way we handle money today, yeah, it's driven by how God has wired us and, you know, things that are a part of our DNA, but it's largely informed by our, you know, childhood and how money was handled and modeled. And a lot of that just, you have to, you know, you bring that with you, good or bad. And that means you've got to break some cycles there, you know, to the extent you didn't have those, you know, positive disciplines reinforced for you. But that's okay. You're identifying that. And here's the good news. You're young. You guys have, you know, that the Lord tarries and, you know, he's still got more for you. You got decades to save and enjoy. I mean, you know, we can right this ship. And you're not calling me with $100,000 in credit card debt either. At least if you have it, you didn't tell me about it. So I think you're in good. Okay. So, you know, you're not in bad shape here. We just need to get this ship turned in the right direction. So, again, here's what we're going to do. You stay on the line. Robert's going to grab your information. We're going to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors call you to work on the money side, the budget and the control system. And then you and your husband pray about you, you know, perhaps schedule an appointment with one of the pastors at your church. church or a counselor, a Christian counselor in your area, to talk about the compulsive nature of your spending. And let's get to the root of that. And I believe if you deal with both of those, God will get you going in the right direction. I'm going to commit to praying for you as well, Rebecca. You can do this, and the Lord can help you break through it. Thanks for your call today. Stay on the line. We'll get your information. May the Lord bless you. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. On behalf of my team, Robert Youngblood, Devin Patrick, and Robert Sutherland, I'm Rob West. It's been a joy to be along with you. I hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow as we round out the week here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.